Computer. Recording. Hello and welcome to Rockstar Podcast, episode 158 of 2021. Very Amazing. Impromptu. Yes. Oh, hi, Mariano.
Oh, hi, Lorenzo.
You have to say hi now because there's nobody else that can say hi. Right?
Hi, Lorenzo. How is your 2021 going so far? 2 days in.
Same shit. It's the same shit. Kid won't go to sleep, and I'm in a basement.
Speaking of not going to sleep, I mean, how much has Sophia's sleep schedule been impacted by all this crazy pandemic stuff?
If she puts me to bed, I don't give a shit. Whatever. Kid goes
to sleep. That's
good. No. Yes. Yeah. No. We're. Yeah. Okay. Trump is still president, just so we all know.
Yep.
Yeah.
In theory for another 18 days?
We don't like to put dates on because then we date our episodes. But that's okay. It's only been 12 years. But yes, 18 days. Or 14 or 12.
Depending on when this is released.
or if you listen to this next year, Kamala Harris is now president. you know, Joe's getting a little old.
Could happen.
Yeah, it could happen. I'm like literally like put him in a bubble. Do not let him move anything or anywhere. Oh. Just get him to the finish line of January 20th, and then whatever happens afterwards is fine. Right. Because could you imagine?
I don't want to imagine. I've already read all the hypothetical articles about what could happen if he, you know, if something happens. But I don't want anything to happen. Let's just flow through to the next presidency.
Yes. What spawned this podcast renewal is I thought about it at around 3 o'clock this afternoon after last week once, and then I called you and you're like, okay, and here we are. 10:30 Eastern Standard Time.
I just go with the flow, man.
Yeah, but that's the problem. I need you to start a wave once in a while.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah. I was on break. You're catching me at the tail end of my break. I took most of the last 2 weeks off. The leading up to Christmas, every year the kids and I do Christmas gifts for Gina, but they have to make them.
Sounds like a charity fundraiser.
No. And this year was probably some of the most challenging gifts the kids have come up with. Gemma created two different body butters for Gina. One was peppermint and one was gingerbread. Yeah. And she loves them, by the way. Gemma created them for Gina.
Yeah, but I'm just making sure Tatiana, that Gemma didn't like give it and take it back.
No. She gave them fully to Gina. She made a lot of it too. Tatiana made a spice rack for our kitchen with used pallet wood. So I was on board to help out with that. And Jay made a box from used pallet wood. So those were all three of those projects started at sometime in November, and I've been working with them to get those done, and we made it. And so, she was thrilled with them all.
I'll ask the question that the listeners are asking. When are you going to stop this stupidity and stop this? You got to let go. Empty nest. They're older. They don't want to do it. Gemma, you still got. Jay's probably like, I'll make a box.
Never.
You might be.
Yeah, Jay.
you may be alone.
Tatiana is actually a very creative person. Hers, you know, she had her own ideas about it, and you know, we worked. But I enjoy it, and the kids seem to like to really enjoy it too.
That said it all. I enjoy it, and the kids seem to like it. There you go.
Well, Gemma for sure likes it. She gets very excited about creating things for other people. So
eight.
And Tatiana is a creative too, so she's gonna be coming after our jobs at some point, or maybe doing something even better. at some point.
I mean, I would hope so. Okay, well, I mean, you keep hanging on to that. Sophia and I created her eBay store to sell her shit. So
no, really?
Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah.
What does she sell?
Right now, she's selling. She's got only a couple things up there because I just started it with her. Like one of those. It's TY. What do they call it? Tide plush. I don't know what the hell they're called. You know the brand. I forget what it is.
The plush dolls. Yeah. The Beanie Babies.
Yeah.
Tide did. Yep. Well, they did Beanie Babies for a while, but then they get the ones with the big eyes now.
Yeah, all kinds, and then I forgot what else, but. No, she gets 50% of the cut, and the other 50% goes in the bank. Yeah.
Good.
So
good deal.
It lasted about 12 minutes until she said she was bored, in which case I said, well, I'm not going to finish this. So she muscled through it. she just wants to see the sale.
What did you get for Christmas? Obviously memorable things.
Instapot. That was my, I was trying to think.
Cool. You're going to like it, actually.
I'm sure.
Gina likes the one we have.
The recipients of the products that come out of there purchase it for me. So, you know, they did their math and they figured, all right, you know, give the fool a stage.
Have you been honing your cooking skills during the pandemic?
Yes and no. We have, in the past, I do the HelloFresh. So I do that 3 or 4 times a week. I mean, you know, food, nothing extraordinary. Why are you like a sous chef or a sushi chef?
No.
I know your wife is baking bread.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Her bread has gotten so good. She started, I don't know, it's got to be more than a year now. She's been doing bread and she's now onto sourdough. So she has this starter in our kitchen that she's told the girls that they're going to inherit parts of the sourdough when they're old enough and on their own.
Oh, how very feminist and progressive.
I know. The bread has been fantastic, though, and we all are happily. Her focaccia is otherworldly, though. You'll have to try it at some point.
I will. We cook bread for man. Yes, that's good. Good deal you got going on there. Does Jay help out in this? No.
No. That's easily checked off. No.
Yeah. Okay. And do you not help, or do you try to help?
I eat. Okay. That's what I do.
Okay. Right.
No, the bread part, I'm basically not allowed to touch because it involves baking, and baking is Gina's thing. So
okay.
I do. And we both share the cooking and I'm not allowed to, you know, my ability to use our stove is monitored by Gina. So that's,
Once again, how very progressive and feminist of her.
I love this episode.
Oh, well, you know, she secretly likes it when we talk about her.
She does. So,
I don't even know where to begin. So apparently, if you would have told me that.
Hold on. I have one more.
Yeah.
I have one more question for you. How has Karen been doing in all of this?
She's fine. I thought you were gonna give me something about me.
She's fine.
Yeah, she's. I don't know. Like, yeah, she's fine. She's been, she's working from home, and you know, what are you gonna do? I mean, there's not much to do. You work, you walk less, and you end up working more. Especially the corporate people, because they don't get to water cooler talk, and they don't get to go downstairs to the cafeteria and get lunch. So you end up working straight.
Yeah.
So, I mean, did you find at any point,
what was the progression for you for the pandemic? Like, what did you find that business slowed down at all? It picked up. Things were crazy at a certain point, or how did that work out for you?
It ended up being my busiest year ever. So
yeah,
and that is a that falls under systemic racism, white privilege. No, it does. Because the fascinating part is the economy went up 30%, but not for everybody. It went to the people who have the ability and the schooling and the education and the ability to work from home. You know, I'm not working in a grocery store where I don't have that choice. You know, it's a little bit of white privilege in there. I'm not crying about it for myself, but I see it's very obvious. You see it. Yeah. We did better. And a lot of people that I know who are not in, it doesn't matter what race or creed, it's just, you know, when they're working on the retail level, it wasn't any better for them, especially in the restaurant world. So,
right. Oh, please.
We have better advantages. Yeah. Yeah. You and I have the advantage of being able to have the money and funds to create a business and do a business where you can work from home.
Yeah.
So you didn't think I was going to get philosophical.
No, I didn't. I wasn't, sometimes you do, but I wasn't entirely sure where we were going with that in the beginning.
Try to keep the bar low so I can surprise you with mediocre information.
For us, it was much more, you know, in the beginning when there was a lot of unknowns, it was very shaky. Because, you know, we didn't know how many of the businesses that we serviced were going to get closed. There was a scramble for a lot of communications with those businesses just to let them know, hey, we're here. Here are the kinds of things you should be communicating to your customers on your website, et cetera. We put in a lot of hours in March and April, making sure that we had a good communication plan with our customers. And then I'd say starting in the summer, things started to really pick up for us. There was a lot of new business, a lot of work. So, so it was nerve-wracking in the beginning, but we finished strong. So that was that was positive. And there's, you know, there's still ups and downs happening even now. I just got wind of a couple of things that happened last week that we'll have to deal with, that, you know, may reduce the amount of business that we have from one group. But, you know, we gotta pivot when we need to. And
is that Sam's fault? No,
it's nobody's fault. It's COVID's fault. They directly told us. So, you know, we just have to make sure that we're able to respond and be available when they need us. So that's mainly what we've been focused on, is communication, making sure our employees are taken care of, making sure our customers know how they can communicate with us.
You have not gone to the office? You have not re-upped?
Me?
Is that
no,
a MAGA hat? Okay, so I see a red hat.
Somewhere. This is an Ocean City hat. I know, red has been ruined for everybody, hasn't it? No.
At least 52% of the country.
I have not felt comfortable going back to the office. I haven't really, there's a question as to whether we're going to, you know, typically the spring is a very big travel period for us. And I'm not conferences? Even sure that we're going to, yeah. And I'm not even sure we're going to be traveling, that time of year either. Just because, you know, I don't feel comfortable traveling myself, and I'm not sure that I would force any of my employees to travel if I'm not comfortable with it. So
you're clearly not going to make it in the big world of Republican capitalism if you think that it's beneath you to ask your employees to travel on your behalf. That was the long answer. The short answer is you have not returned to the office, and you don't anticipate returning to the office. Have you seen the new development?
I have. I've been in Bell Works. I just haven't been in for a long long periods of time. And I have seen the new development. It looks fantastic. The yes. The new collab does look fantastic. Scott has been in there.
Oh, I did see a Scott.
Couple of times. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And usually he's been there when he's had to be here for other reasons. And he'll just put in a few hours at the collab. So,
okay.
But I have not gotten to the point where I feel like I can expose myself to that.
Okay.
So, but I'll get there.
I got into two altercations at grocery stores with people who don't wear masks. And it wasn't really an altercation. I just took a mask and threw it in their cart.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I have zero tolerance.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Wish you did.
Yeah, I have zero. I didn't lie. No, there were plenty other times that I could have done it. And then I've seen a few times where there's this clear mask that someone wears. And if it kind of covers their nose and mouth because they feel like, you know, they're cool, but the bottom part is exposed. Have you seen this?
Uh-huh.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I haven't seen it. I haven't seen that. No. Most of the masks I see are the surgical masks or.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean,
and I see the face shield too.
Well, the face shield does not work on its own. I mean, it's the most ridiculous thing. You can't wear a face shield and no mask. So this gentleman was wearing a mask, which I'll send you a picture of it so you can see it. So the bottom is all empty. Like it just it's over your, you know, nose and mouth, but the whole bottom is open because it's not sealed to the bottom. You standing behind me. And I think, yeah, it was Home Depot. He's standing behind me and I just randomly turned around and it was the guy because I'd seen him before. And part of me was looking for him, but he found me. And I turned around and I said, "Really?" And that was it. So that was my, I looked at him and he looked at me and I just said, "Really? This is that, that's it." So, yeah, no. But Covey, whatever that is, Donald Trump is going to, this is my prediction. He will, or I think what he's doing is he's trying to sabotage the Senate race in Georgia because he wants everything on fire and he wants them to lose. So he could say, "You can't win without me." I think for the next 4 years, he's just going to keep taking more slush fund money to pay off all his debt. And he's going to create a media empire on his level. And he's going to continue to tease for the next 4 years that he's going to become president and wants to be president and he's never going to run. And he's just going to make hundreds of millions of dollars and pardon everybody and then just die at like 83 by himself.
I would like to see if that comes true.
I think he's just one of the single worst people in the history of time.
Yeah, I have a
tendency. I just say it. You fucking hate him.
I do not. I honestly, like, I try to give people the benefit of the doubt, and I honestly try to look at things from their point of view, but it's very hard. He makes.
Have you ever tried to look at the point of view of David Duke? Have you ever looked at the point?
No.
Have you ever tried to look at the point of view of Jeffrey Dahmer?
No.
Okay. No. Well, I can tell you that those people both murdered far less people than this man did. So don't stop looking. Don't look at his.
I know. What I was saying before is not so much. This is my feeling when he first became president. Is like, all right. Well, this is what we've got. Let's see what he does. Let's see how he runs things. But I, you know, the one thing that I feel is a measure of a person that should be president is they want to be president because they feel they honestly and wholly want to serve their country. And they, you know, they believe in the United States of America. And I think that is a true mark of a president. I'm not saying it's the only mark, but it's something that I look for in a president. I don't think Donald Trump is like that. I don't. He's in it for himself, and you can tell by the number of pardons that he's issued over recent days. And the way he spins certain things, he doesn't want to be a loser, and he doesn't want to, he's in it for himself. And he's, and I think part of the reason that he's fighting to continue to be president is because, he's seeing the train at the end of the tunnel, in the manner of lawsuits, in the manner of, banks that are going to collect on his personal loans that are outstanding, and haven't felt like they've had the ability to do that while he was president. And now, he probably figured, I'm going to win another 4 years. I'll be protected for another 4 years, and I won't have to ever worry about this. Maybe I'll even die in office. But now, you know, I think what's probably going to end up happening, and this is a little contradictory to what you said, I think he's going to get caught up in a couple of lawsuits, probably go to prison, and
well, he can go to prison based on state. He can go to prison. I mean, he's pardoning himself, but he can go to prison on New York is going to put him in jail, on the state level. They will do that, because he can't get pardoned. But this, it's just scam after scam. But the last scam, which is the Stop the Steal email, that I think they've sent out 458 emails, where they're asking for you to help donate money to stop the steal, stop the fraud vote. Yeah. And the fact that he has raised $300 million on it, and at the very, it's well known if you follow politics that at the very bottom, it says anything under $5,000 is discretionary money that basically he's keeping for himself. And right. Because the people he's emailing are sending in $50, $100, $200, maybe $1,000. So it has to reach 5,000. And even at 5,000, I think it's only 40% of it has to go to actual, so basically out of
political action fund, right?
Right. So out of the 300 million, he probably is back, banking 230 million.
Yeah.
So it's a shame.
Did you intend for this to become a political podcast, or did you, is it intended to be something else?
I got a lot to say.
I know you do. And that's why I love you. That's why so many people love me.
Just to typically ask, wait till we do the episode where I write down every single bullet point from the first day of his presidency to the size of his hands and his small little crowd. Just go through it moment by moment in excruciating pain and just dissect it to really reasonable levels. But that said, I do play the stocks now. I'm in the stock exchange. Because Trump kept saying that everything was going great, I'm like, well, where is it going great? And then they said, it's in the stock exchange, stock market. I said, oh, okay, so let me go in the stock market. So now I'm doing things in the stock market. I don't really know what the hell I'm doing. And I lost 32 pounds. So.
Now you lost 32 pounds because you're eating more healthy?
Well, Trump drives me to not eat because of, no, yeah, yeah, yeah. No.
Hey, well, by the way, how's your mom? Is she doing well? Is she staying healthy, staying protected?
What if she died? Then you would feel like a dick. What if she died? And then...
I'm asking, and if you, then we'd have she's to talk about it.
Well, yes. She's fine. She's good. No, she's good. She's good.
Do you get to see her at all, or are you keeping her distance?
Yeah. She's not allowed to visit down here anymore for a while.
Oh, geez.
She's completely out of control. She's insanity. So all she wants to do, I go up there. I'd say that, I go up there. As far as jumping to that from there to COVID, it's fascinating to me that people think that based on nostalgia and quantity of years friendships have been involved, that COVID says, well, I'm not going to visit this location. Have you noticed that people are, it's just my friend. Well, your friend just maybe went to see just their friend, and then they went to see their friend. 350,000 people dead in this country. It's a shame.
It is a shame. And it's hard because, I think, as an Italian, you want to be with your family. And
racist. But actually, you know, actually, as an Italian, you really don't want to be with your family. You have to be with your family.
Yeah, yes, that is true. Yeah. No, I feel where COVID has hurt me probably the most is that I haven't seen my parents in close to a year.
Well, they live in Boston, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean,
we've talked to them and I've seen them on Zoom, but I haven't physically been with them, in a year, mm-hmm. close to a year. I get it. I mean, I'm uncomfortable going up there and then where you typically I would stay with them. So,
No, you can't. If they lived close by, it's a different story. Karen and I both made the commitment that back in March that we were going to cut off all of our friends so that we could still see our parents.
Yeah,
and that's what we've done.
Very similar to us. We've had.
Bad decision.
I think summertime. Terrible. Summertime is a little different because you were able to go outside more and mm-hmm. And the numbers were down. I mean, I actually thought things started to seem pretty good for a while.
Well, they did go down. I mean, it's obvious that the outdoors and even the heat or warmth to some point probably helped squash this. But it's also the fact that people are just not sneezing and coughing and, that kind of stuff as well. Yeah. It doesn't take a scientist to figure out that sitting in a room with six people versus sitting outside with six people is far better, or reducing the chances of it. It's unfortunate because it's definitely got prolonged. They say, I forget what the quote is about repeating history, but if you had any kind of sensible understanding.
Those who don't study history are doomed to repeat it.
Right. I mean, yeah. Even though everybody goes back to 1918 with the Spanish flu and stuff like that, I mean, it's kind of, you could go back to 2019 with just the regular flu. If we told people to stay home for the flu, would cause you to be sick for a week. It's fascinating that people can't wrap their fucking heads around the fact that they should stay home for COVID so that it doesn't kill you, or at least.
I think our response to this was very poorly managed. And I think that, there wasn't, in any crisis, one of the things that I think you need as a leader is an ability to establish what the plan is and tell everyone, hey, listen, here's the plan. Here are my reasons for it. We should all follow the plan. And I think that in the beginning and even many ways to this day, I think this administration made a lot of mistakes in terms of managing that. And I think that as a result, people have different feelings about how they should be responding to this. Some people say masks don't work. Some people say, businesses should be open and the economy should move on. We had 340,000 deaths now, in spite of the fact that we shut down the economy for a certain period of time, that we ran in isolation for some period of time. I think that I just feel like we could have been over with this or at least had it managed better much earlier on when it happened, as opposed to now still dealing with it in December and mm-hmm. January of 2021. So, there's a missed opportunity for us.
I don't think they made any mistakes. I think I think everything was completely calculated. I don't think there were any, because they had too much information. Even not the idiot in charge, but just enough people below him had enough information to know certain basic things. Not only did I don't think it's a mistake, he proactively laughed at masks, you know, making them very weak for people to wear. You know, why would you wear? This is the reason why I hate this person so much, because for any Republican or Democrat I've ever voted for, the one opposing them, I never ever thought that, you know, this person was an evil person. I mean, I voted for Obama, was my first Democrat that I ever voted for. I thought John McCain was as good a man as there is. George Bush, Al Gore, Bill Clinton, you know, any of these guys, even Hillary, I don't think any of these people are on this. This is a catastrophic human being that is not intelligent at all, but very, very manipulative and calculating. And the people below him are really the ones that are evil, because they come from a place where they probably were just good, solid American Republicans, and they have sold, not all of them, but a good portion of them. I think there's a lot of them who are in there trying to fight the battle to keep the wheels going off the rails, or the train going off the rails. So they should be applauded for probably keeping this country in a better space than it is. But the Mitch McConnells, the Mike Pences, Kayleigh McEnany, those people, I think it's all calculated. I mean, people are dying. 9/11s are happening every single day, and he's golfing. It doesn't matter. That, you know, mistakes are, you know, people say when George Bush got the news about 9/11, that he sat there for an extra minute, right? I don't think that was, that's a mistake, maybe. I don't know what would have changed in that minute, but that's a mistake. What he's doing,
I don't think that's
now,
a mistake. You know, like, I mean, what George Bush did sitting there, I mean, that's a very human thing.
I'm saying it's a mistake in the sense of what he decided to do was be very human and absorbed it. I'm not saying he did, but what I'm saying is, in hindsight, it's possibly a mistake. Maybe something could have happened in that minute to save the plane from crashing in Pennsylvania, whatever. It could have been a lot of different things, but those are mistakes, you know. Whatever you want to say about Obama are mistakes, Bush are mistakes. This is pure evil. This is pure evil. I can't think of any single man, or Hillary who ran, that would have ever let there be 3,000 people dying every day without doing everything in their power to try and stop it. That means from masking, talking about basic stuff. This man has not only not done that, he's gone the opposite way with holding rallies. He doesn't think it's, this is just pure evil. So that's why, like any president, I think they're all good Americans. I think this is just a terrible human being. You know, and there are, you know, the problem is there are terrible human beings in this world.
Yeah.
That's it. And he got lucky and came in for the vote against the black guy. This was the anti-black guy vote. You know, Obama got it. We're going to show you.
Yeah. Well, you know, if anything, the one thing that this presidency has kind of shown me is that there's still a lot of work to do in the United States to get us to where that ideal, you know, that American ideal should be. The one that you may have always thought of as what our Italian cousins thought of when they think of the United States, this is a great country. This is where we're going to go for work. This is, you know, there really is a land of opportunity here. And I feel like we've lost some of that luster, especially after the last 4 years, but even before then there were problems.
This is like 10 steps backwards to hopefully go 11 steps forward. I mean, it's as bad as it gets. The only reason
I just hope that moving forward, that we can find that, you know, the new administration is going to be able to find some kind of way to reach out to that half of the country that didn't vote for him. And because because we can't keep going like this. I don't think that we can. and be the kind of country that I think you and I envision the country.
This is why you can be a politician and I can't, because in truth, I don't give a shit about that other half. I really don't. And I don't say I don't give a shit about them as in like I will bet. That's not what I say at all. What I'm saying is I don't care what you want, because clearly what you want is us to go back to 1955. And you may not personally want that, but you voted for someone who is staunchly involved in having that happen. I never ever thought about any single person who voted for any single president in my life and said thought anything negative about them ever. Did I ever think that you voted McCain or you voted John Kerry and thought anything ill will? I just said, you know, I mean, for me, it came down to a couple of basic core things, right? The social stuff, the abortion, the gay rights, that type of stuff. But I never, ever, this, I mean, you literally see what he is as, he is as opposite Christian as you could be based on the Christian belief, everything, you know. Talk the way he talks about his daughter, multiple marriages, divorces. Not that there's anything wrong with that in my eyes. Well, not the kid part, but the other part. But to the Christian Bible Belt and those, it's amazing to me that he got more than 15% of the vote. It's just fascinating to me that I would rather abstain than go vote for someone like that. Like I literally would have moved or was considering it because I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. Anyway, that said, did you file for a PPE loan the first time around?
Yes, we did.
You did successfully?
Yes, we did.
Okay.
And we, you know, we were good. It's good that we got it at the time we got it. So
okay.
Did help. And kept us floating for, couple months. And you know, I think that was a key component of that package, and I actually wish they had gotten more through Congress and the Senate to help small businesses, because there's just all this hullabaloo about this, you know, about the $2,000 payment that people are going to get. And really, I feel like if you can do something that will help keep people employed or keep their unemployment benefits going, that is far more important than a one-time payment to me. You know, I just feel like, you know, the one-time payment helps me only so much and it's finite. But if you tell me I'm going to get an extra $300 a week for, you know, 20 weeks or 30 weeks until this, you know, until we've seen the other end of this pandemic, that's far more meaningful to me as a business owner or even as an employee. I would think that's more important, because that means to me I've got some financial security so that I know that I can pay my bills month to month. Whereas this little $2,000 or $600 or $2,000, whatever it is, payment just means, okay, I'm going to take this money. I have no idea how long I have to stretch it. And the other part of that is some people who actually have jobs and probably don't need it are going to get it, you know?
Yeah, that's my problem with this as well. I'm not trying to go back to politics, but like it took Donald Trump for me to agree with Mitch McConnell on some level. But I think this is, again, it goes back to the inept ability of this White House. The $2,000 per month that they're talking about,
no, $2,000 one payment.
I mean, I'm sorry. $2,000 one payment that they're talking about. So I go back and forth. Initially, it sounds great, yes. And then I hear the contrarian side of it, which says, you know, there's no reason, not no reason, but, you know, you're going to tell me that a family of four with two kids who have a 6 and an 8-year-old are each going to get $2,000 and they have not been impacted by the financial burden of COVID. And I'm like, geez, that does make sense, because I'd rather see them take that $300 boost that they're giving to unemployment, pull out of the fund and give them $600, because that's justified that they are unemployed, rather than giving it to someone who's making $190,000,
right,
and giving them $8,000 because they have four people in their family.
What's gonna, Yeah.
And so I say to myself, well, I mean, it's not too hard to figure this out. I mean, it's not like this is one check that we've been getting every month and now we might lose it. This is, we haven't had anything in 8 months. So right. to take an extra month and figure out and say, well, listen, the first rollout of checks are going is 600 to everybody. And we're adding $600 to every unemployment person. And then from there, over the next month, the government with their millions and millions of dollars and thousands of employees will have to figure out, and sure, there's going to be some problems. We'll have to figure out how anybody, based on their taxes from 2019, or on how they can check it, however they can. I mean, they can check anything they want and distribute that money accordingly. So that instead of giving me 2000, my wife 2000, and my 8-year-old 2000, maybe a single mom will get 4000 and I'll get 800 or whatever it may be. That's the part of government that needs to work. Right. And they've had 9 months to figure this out, but they haven't. So now we're
just honestly, what it comes down to is they're trying to do too much in one bill. Like, of take care of
the people. Putting the poison pills in there left and right with all the different things. They're fucking sabotaging the whole thing.
Take care of the people of the United States first. And like I said, I think the biggest impact you can have is give some people some security. Let them know, hey, listen, you know, you won't get evicted on, you know, December 25th was the original date. You won't get evicted because we're going to continue those unemployment checks.
What they should have done is given the money to, they really should just do the restaurant and industry fund and let people do the PPE loan, meaning that if you're an individual and you have lost 30% in your salary, or your unemployment's up, or whatever it may be able to take a $15,000 loan with very limited credit check, if at all, at like a 2% or 1.5% interest rate over a 5-year plan, so that you could survive instead of giving, you know, all the big box brands all the first looks at money and taking all the money. Now, I understand they employ people. Yep. I'm not against big box at all, but giving the person, the individual, and then giving the money, because you can't open the place up, but the businesses are legitimately saying, hey, we can't open up, but you're not giving us any help either. They should have every single restaurant that's out there be able to easily take a, you know, $5,000 upfront bonus, or, you know, whatever they want to call it. Just give them $5,000, right? And then let them borrow $15,000 or whatever they need at like a ridiculous interest rate, just really low, if not a grand.
Right.
Because they feed the individual people. And then even if I'm wrong, there's a million ways they could have done it.
There are a million ways that they could have done it. And, you know, like I said, I mean, the biggest thing is we need to help the people that aren't working right now, because those are and we need to help in a way that's sustainable, because we need, you know, we need those people to be able to pay their rent. They need to be able to pay their electric bills. They need to be able to buy groceries. Like, they need to do things that will help them survive. And, you know, to date, I think the government has done a really awful job of taking care of those people in the way that need to be taken care of, that they need to be taken care of.
It is criminal what they have done. And I got to tell you, if this was Hillary or Obama, a woman or a black man, they would,
but you can't just blame them. I mean, in this particular instance, you can't just blame the president. I mean, it doesn't matter who was president. I'm saying it doesn't matter who was president. Right. It has to start with our governing bodies. Look, you know, we have too many people in our governing bodies that feel like they can add things to a bill that that represent their interests. They're not there to help the people of the United States of America. They're people.
Right, but when you're the president and you wield that stick and you have the bully pulpit for the past 9 months where the Democrats have tried to give $2,000, Trump could have, what does he do? He waits till 4 days before so he can try and make it look like he's a genius. Or
for me,
it begins and starts with him, especially when you have a primarily Republican run government on all levels, except for the Senate. And the Senate was the one that was willing to give the money. This has been 9 months. You know, we got $600, or I heard people got $600 or whatever it was, right? And then I'm the one in the middle because I can't get PPE loan, because I'm a sole proprietor. So like there was nothing for me to get anywhere. I was fortunate enough to be making money, so that's fine. But I'm telling you, like, he is a separate entity from everything. Any other president, it would have just, everything would have been 100% better. I'm not saying it would have been great. I'm not saying it would have been resolved. I'm not saying COVID would be gone. I'm not saying everybody would be basking in riches and millions of dollars. I'm not suggesting that. What I'm saying is that everything is a million times worse because of this human being. And there's nothing that would change my mind around it. He has the bully pulpit that he can demand things. He can ask for things. He could suggest things. He could be knocking on the door every day saying, we need this money. Get it done. Get it done. Get it done. Figure it out. You know, I'm the art of the deal maker. I'm the make the best deals, blah, 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 blah. He hasn't made a fucking deal. He's done shit there.
Was that cathartic for you?
I don't know, but we just lost Nancy in Boise, Idaho, because she's like, oh, hell no, Trump 2024. yes, that was cathartic for me. Thank you. What was I going to say? The loan, the 2000 stimulus, whatever happens there. Did you retain all your employees?
Yes. In fact, we hired 2 new employees at the end of the year.
Okay.
So we're trying to grow. We're trying to grow and make a better place for people to work. You know, it has not been an easy year on any stretch. So we did our primary goal. So here's how we broke it down. Our primary goal was to retain all employees. That was, and we were very transparent about that with our employees. We kind of took everybody together. I think it was the beginning of April. Mm-hmm. We had a meeting and said, hey, listen, we don't know what the next six months are going to, you know, 6 to 12 months are going to hold, but we are, you know, we are applying for a PPP loan. We're going to, and our primary goal is to make sure everybody stays employed for at least the next 12 weeks. You know, and beyond that, we're not sure, you know, we'll see what happens, honestly. And so we were able to keep everybody. We suspended raises. We did a typical review, but we didn't do salary reviews or anything like that. And you know, I'm very happy to say that we did retain everybody. We managed to even do a little Christmas bonus for everybody at the end of the year. Hired 2 new people, so you know, I'm really proud of what the commitment the our employees made to doing their jobs so that the company could continue to function in a way it needed to function mm-hmm. when it was during its most challenging time. And you know, I could not have done it without them. So
did you make them gifts?
Did I make them gifts? No. I did okay. not make them gifts. We made sure that they were employed. That was my gift to them.
Well, excuse us over at Avelliant. Okay. Well, that's good to hear. By the way, barstoolfund.com. Please go there and visit if you're listening and make a donation. If you don't know anything about it, you see the story there. But yes, go to barstoolfund.com.
Well, tell us a little bit about it.
It's such a long story. Barstool Fund is a company called Barstool Sports. It's run by Dave Portnoy. They're like hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars and all this major network. And what he's doing is he's raising money to and restaurants and small businesses throughout the country are submitting videos. And he's basically paying their bills, or the company's paying their bills until the pandemic's over. They've raised about $20 million so far in the past month. And he's doing, he's FaceTiming all the owners, telling them he's had like 15,000 submissions. You can go there and buy a shirt. You can get a shirt with any of the company's logos on it. There's some in New Jersey, they're throughout the country. It's really good stuff. Barstoolfund.com. I bought a couple of shirts, and I have nothing to do with it other than I'm what's known as a stoolie. And I have been for a long time. But yes, that you can, and you can buy from the local places. There's a couple of New Jersey locations that were approved. So yes, if nothing else, go to barstoolfund.com or go donate to the Veterans Department, Wounded Warriors.
Oh, that's cool. I'm checking it out.
Yeah. You actually can make a pitch for a video for money.
Well, I wouldn't take money right now.
Yeah, no, I know. See, that's right. We got our privilege. I know. is there a thought process on your future as needing office space now that you've, and I know yours is a little different because you have people throughout the country and you've only had it for a couple people, but.
I'd like to go back to going into an office one day a week. Just because the one thing that I found when I was working in an office is that it was usually a very intensive focused day.
Are you working more? Are you getting more work done now or in the office? One day, pick any one day, a full work day at home where, yes, you have kids and stuff, but let's just assume you get a full day's work in or a full day's work.
I'd say I'm about the same, okay. There's no huge difference because, the things that I would do before that would be interruptive, like going to pick up the kids in the middle of the day or dropping them off at school, no mm-hmm. longer happen. So, to that extent, or even after school activities, like those kinds of things have no longer happened. So,
right.
In that respect, we're kind of gaining some time back. So I can't say that I'm any more or less
productive
as a result of this. Probably maybe a little bit more, but yeah.
How's Scott doing?
He's doing all right. He's I think New York is a little weird right now. I know they isolated to go to visit his mom, and they drove down to Florida and for Christmas, and I think for New Year's they went to Michigan maybe mm-hmm. To visit his wife's parents, but they're doing well otherwise, and feeling pretty good. Okay. And
I gamble a lot now.
Do you really? Online, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Yeah, I never really gambled ever. I've always done fantasy football and all that stuff. But like 6 months ago, I'm like, yeah, let me figure this out. So now I gamble on the on football on the weekend, and I'm in the stock market. So I'm diversifying my portfolio with and returning on my dividends.
So you're gambling on both ends.
Well, I win on one, and then I lose on the other, or I lose on one right. and win on the other. It ends up, you end up making, it's obvious. I just do like penny stocks because it's very obvious that like, oh, wow, look, I could buy Amazon stock. And it's like, it's $3,387 for one fucking share or whatever they call it.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So I'm like, oh, well, that's not going to happen. But I have found a hot stock. So I'm good. What is the hot stock? Am I supposed to tell people, or is it like smart to tell people or no? Or like, do I have to be
gentle? I don't know. Maybe you should, I don't know. You could tell them, but say this is not financial advice or something like that. I don't know. I don't know how to protect yourself for that.
Okay. So I'll just say this much. I'll say I bought it at $1.42
yeah.
per share. And it's in the past 2 weeks gone to $27 per share.
Oh my goodness. How did you know to buy it?
Contrary to popular belief, I did a due diligence amount of research, and I started to listen to a couple of podcasts. By the way, the Pivot podcast is by far the best podcast in the world. Yes. Well, second best, but maybe after this episode, not. But and I decided to pick on some industries that I felt like I could buy cheap. Look, I'm not the only person who thought this, but that would be a buy cheap because they would jump up post COVID. So yeah. I started buying some stock in some dry ice companies, some trucks that provide the dry ice service, Carnival Cruises, stuff like that on the cheaper side. Yeah. But this one is I went heavy into the telemedicine and pharmaceutical companies.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So
Probably a good move.
yeah. And I bought a share in Twitter.
Congratulations on
Yes.
that one share.
Well, you know, and a share in Snapchat too.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, now you have a completely diversified portfolio.
Yes. And I just wait for Roblox and TikTok to go public and that'll be good. Anything else you'd like to say?
No, I think I've sufficiently worn out my brain.
Any podcasts that you've been liking? I really suggest the Pivot.
I will listen to the Pivot. I've been listening to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. Is hilarious.
Okay. Yes.
And How I Built This has always been a favorite of mine, although
yes.
I've listened to it a little bit less recently.
That happens naturally.
TED Radio Hour is another good one with Manoush Zamarodi.
Oh, okay. What is your, have you been watching news?
I honestly try not. I mean, you know, I have my curated news from the news app on my phone, and I do listen to the NPR news reports every hour. Well, I mean,
you're not in Parler. You didn't join Parler.
Oh my, dude, like, what are you doing to me? Why do you even mention that around?
Is that the scammiest social media platform there ever could be?
This really the scammiest. I mean, you know, I every time I see it mentioned, I just want to. I want to reach out and say, listen, just do yourself a favor.
They are taking your data like you have no idea. But
well, you know, one of the founders of Parler,
Dan Boningo, whatever what was his name, Dan Boningo, whatever his name is.
No, it's a woman. I don't remember.
Oh, I don't know.
Her name. She was heavily involved in the Cambridge Analytica stuff.
Oh yes, on Facebook. Yes.
Mm-hmm. She's one of the co-founders of Parler. So
yes.
Yeah, those of you who have Parler accounts, your data is likely being.
Well, I mean, it's gone, but nobody cares. Believe me, nobody is worried about your information. are you still using DuckDuckGo?
I am. I still do use it.
You don't use it.
I do.
I think only when you think about it and you're trying to be very West Coast.
No, on my computer. No, on my computer, it's my default browser. My phone is still Google, but my computer, it's still my default browser, my default search engine.
Are you excited about the Apple search engine that is going to try and take over Google?
I did not hear about that. Yes. No.
Apple is coming out with their own search, which is going to be on every iPhone and every iPad and everything everywhere. I can't wait to start running Apple ads and charging clients more. It's going to be very, very interesting because they're the only ones that have the truck that can combat versus Google. Because, you know, DuckDuckGo is cute. I hear the commercials on WFAN radio now. And Bing has still got Yahoo. So that's what's good. And finally, I'll leave you with, were you a Sopranos fan?
I never watched Sopranos.
Really?
Really? I would say I've seen an episode or two and seen some YouTube clips, but never watched Sopranos.
For people who out there listening who are not psychopaths like this guy, and believe me, the notion of the Sopranos just irked my skin because it was the typical stereotypical Italians, but it is some of the finest writing and dialogue that's ever been on television or movies anywhere. The fact that you have not been pulled into that means nothing to you. The fact that, you know, James Gandolfini died a couple years ago.
I do know that. Yeah.
And the hope was that Sopranos would come back with a movie and stuff. So apparently.
Know about what you're about to tell me.
The new series?
No, there's a prequel movie that they're working on.
Oh, well, it's supposed to be a series and a prequel, and it's his son that plays him.
Oh, really? I did not know.
Yeah. As a younger Tony Soprano. It won't matter. It won't be anywhere in the same stratosphere as good. But it'll make all of North Jersey, Real Housewives of New Jersey, want to be people who believe that saying, hey, yo, is Italian, happy. But I guess I would tell you that I genuinely think that if for someone like you who just enjoys reading and things like that, the script, the writing is unbelievable in the show. And I really think that it's the only thing I've ever gotten back and watched every episode of that I'm in the middle of right now.
Maybe I'll
And
have to
that's,
look watch it at some point.
I think you should give it a shot.
Maybe in the next episode we can talk about the number of choices for streaming TV and why that drives me crazy.
No, we got 5 minutes, please. And then we'll continue on to the next one. Please just give me your 30 seconds on what's driving you crazy.
Oh, what's driving me crazy about it is that why do I have to subscribe to every freaking HBO, Disney Plus,
It's
Hulu,
exactly what I was hoping you would say. Yes.
Netflix. Why do I have to subscribe to every single one of those? I mean, they all have these what do I want to call them? Tentpole shows. Right now, Disney Plus, it's The Mandalorian. For HBO, it's the fact that they're doing all of their movies released simultaneously with any Paramount movies basically being released on HBO at the same time. Netflix has a number of series as well. Why do I have to? I have no time for all of them anyway.
This is see this is the roost calling the kettle yellow, whatever the fuck they call it. I we can go back, and I have in the past supported cable providers, and I said that all we're going to do is now have a box that's going to have individual channels that you're going to pay for individually, and you're going to have to do this scramble where you're going here to here. So on the Pivot podcast, which if you're not familiar with it, I don't know if you are, but the most current episode and the one before it. The one before it is the they go over, it's Kara Swisher from and Scott Galloway. They talk about what they believe 2021 is. Unbelievable episode. And then today's or this week's episode, Scott, the guy was away, so they had someone come in who deals with television and all that stuff. I forget her name. And they talk about this exact thing. And they're saying that this is an in-between phase because people are doing exactly, and I get aggravated like you are right now. They're saying, oh, I want to watch this show, but now I got to subscribe to Hulu. And now I want to watch this show, I got to subscribe to HBO Max. And then I got to subscribe to this. And then I got to, and now next thing I know, I have cable vision or cable in one sense or the other where it's on my TV and it's pushed through a Roku box or an Amazon Fire Stick or whatever. But now I'm paying this, and this. And my bill is still the same. I'm just waiting for CNN to go behind a paywall because it's the only reason I still have cable is for CNN. Once they go behind a paywall, I'll get rid of cable. But I'm this is, and she's saying that this is basically a gray period where they're figuring it out because the pushback was, well, the Mandalorian, they hold the cards because you have to get Disney Plus, right?
Right.
So why not license the Mandalorian out to Hulu, to Netflix, to all of them there? And the lady's basically saying, well, then you have cable again.
Right,
So it's
exactly.
like this is exactly the problem. It just should
It's
be
a problem, and it's not a problem that they're going to be able to solve very easily because,
no.
and even like CBS is the only one I kind of broke down and actually bought a subscription to because I wanted to see Picard, and I'm a Star Trek guy, so I like
Wait, you have no
Picard, which is an
subscription
X.
plans? You don't subscribe to anything?
No, I have Netflix, which I've had forever.
Right.
And CBS is the only other one that I've done right now.
So no wonder your kids are making GIFs. What the hell are they doing?
They
What are
don't
they
watch a ton
watching?
of TV. They don't watch a
No.
ton of TV.
They don't know it because you're like, oh, we don't, I don't know what that is. I don't know.
exactly. I tried to show them old movies that I really liked.
Oh, God. That's good for you.
But I try. That's it's just one of those things. Like I'm not. I don't want to subscribe to five different, or 10 different program, 10 different stations, just to
Yes.
get a single pro, just to get a single a series. I want to, and honestly, Lorenzo, the other thing that drives me crazy is that once you subscribe to something, how often are you going to turn it off? Like once you've caught up on all the episodes of the
That's
Mandalorian,
not any, that's your problem.
you're
That
not going to
that's
turn it
your,
off.
well,
You're
I
going to
mean,
let it on, let it go for a year.
but I subscribe I have HBO Max, which I just started a month ago. I have Disney Plus, I have Netflix, and I have Fubo. Fubo is the cable provider that provides the channels, right? So I'm paying about the same amount as I was. But when Mandalorian, like if I have an 8-year-old, so she watches Disney Plus, but if it was just me, when Mandalorian, I don't watch it until the whole season's out, then I just binge it and then I would cancel.
Right.
I would.
Right. Well, and they're not counting on someone like you. They're counting on someone like me who's gonna subscribe and say, you know, I'm not gonna cancel it just because I'm done, because all of a sudden they have all this other content that I kinda like, and mm-hmm. I'm not gonna stop my subscription. I'm just gonna let it keep going.
Just watch C-SPAN. You'll learn everything you need to know.
That's what I think I'm gonna do. Just watch C-SPAN, read a couple of good books, and then I'll be done. NPR is still good.
So Rockstar episode 158, it's in the can. Bye.
Bye.